Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The president of the Great River Economic Development Foundation is here, Kyle Moore. This morning, just moments ago, the mayor of Quincy, Mike Trope, and Kyle Moore held a joint press conference to announce a huge, huge investment in Quincy. And take it away, Kyle Moore.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. It's not every month that we get to have breaking news right beforehand, you know. So
thank you for the timing.
And listen, we told the city, like, hey, we've got a very important interview at 9:15, so let's wrap this up. So, no, we're very excited to announce with the city of Quincy that Amazon is officially constructing a new last-mile facility right here in Quincy. It's going to be a 59,000-square-foot facility at 4301. So this is a great development for the city of Quincy. Not only does it really speak to our importance in Quincy and West Central Illinois to being a logistics hub, that now Amazon within a 60-mile radius can service about 350,000 customers. But we always hear in economic development when we talk about the Targets or the Raising Cane's, well, what are you doing to bring head of household jobs to the community? And this is another example of a international company investing in our community. They're going to have jobs that pay pretty well, and they're going to do another announcement on how many jobs, so I can't really talk about that. But you know they're going to be making a pretty substantial amount of money in that facility, and so we're very, very excited about this today.
Well, now, you would not expect anything different appearing on the Mary Griffith Show for me to have two, of course, terrible things to follow up on, seeing the bad in everything. Where are these people going to live?
Well, that's why we work on housing, Mary.
I know.
We try at the Economic Development Foundation to work on the barriers to employment, and whether that be housing with the Adams County Grow Program. The city of Quincy is ready to announcing their downtown rental rehab program pretty soon here. And then we're hoping for another round two of the Adams County program for the housing. And then, of course, last month we partnered with Adams County and a number of different agencies on a child care initiative. As you know, child care is one of the barriers for people for employment, and just trying to get more individuals in the workforce. And so we'll announce more details about that program in January. But we're trying at the Great River Economic Development Foundation to make it easier for people to work here in the tri-states.
Well, Amazon must be somewhat convinced that you can get the job done, or they wouldn't be making
investment. Here's what I tell people when folks say, well, where are they going to get folks? You know, the companies like Amazon, like a United Alloy, or even like a Target, they do their due diligence. And you know, folks always ask, you know, what does the Great River Economic Development Foundation do and things like this? And, you know, some of the things that we do is provide labor reports and labor statistics. And obviously, sometimes people can get those from some national sources like the U.S. Census. But we have more up-to-date statistics. We also help with site selection and things like that. But I can tell you, these companies do their due diligence. They're not going to invest in a 59,000-square-foot facility if they didn't feel like they could meet their employment objectives.
What is the dollar amount to construct this facility, and when do you anticipate it will be open?
So the construction is going to begin here in the next few weeks.
Oh, okay.
So
this year.
Yeah, so they're thinking that it's going to be done in about a year, and the city will probably give you more down to the penny estimates, but I usually use $200 to $250 a square foot, and so you're looking anywhere about $15 million, I'd say, or more of the investment. So that'll give you kind of a range, but the city will have the exact dollar amount, but they didn't have that this morning.
Okay.
Yep.
But, I mean, this is huge.
It's great. And Mary, what we also talk about, too, is first, one, the long-term jobs that are created by this investment from Amazon, but the construction jobs that are created in the next year are going to be pretty significant. And then you also talk about servicing the Amazon facility. So for our local subcontractors that may work with them, our local, if you have mechanic shops and things like that, I mean,
trucks and everything are going to have to be exactly.
Serviced. So there's going to be a ripple effect that continues to have a positive economic impact for our community for decades to come.
You know, one of the things we stress so much here at WTAD is buy local, buy local, buy local. Obviously, when you buy things on Amazon, it is not local. But this is a way to go to Amazon and get some bang back for our buck locally.
Right.
And what do you mean by last mile? Explain that, obviously. What does that mean?
So in logistics, companies are trying to figure out how to get things to your doorstep faster. So how do they get what the last mile means is that there are there's product in an inventory that then can be delivered to you, and it maybe not within a mile, but within a short range. So this will be a distribution center that will have some products that will be able to get to you. Instead of in 2 or 3 days, they'll be able to get it to you in a day. And so it just makes that turnaround time for products that much faster.
So everything comes into Quincy, and that could be by air, that could be by rail, that could be by truck, usually not rail for Amazon. But and then it's sorted and dispersed out to, and where are we talking?
These distribution centers are anywhere between a 45 and 60 mile radius, and so you can look at a map and see where Amazon's
so
currently.
Like Pittsfield,
correct. Into basically the tri-state area that we talk about.
Anybody listening to WTAD is in that 60 mile.
Pretty
radius.
Much, and so instead of a 2 day turnaround time, you're most likely going to get a day. I've got relatives that live in Des Moines, and they're able to get some things the same day, depending upon the product. And so it's just really going to depend upon the product and what they, what the needs of the consumers are here. But I think for us, it means if you're an Amazon customer, it's going to mean better service in the end.
Okay. Amazon is truly taking over the world. To the dismay of some people, myself included, let me put it this way. I myself personally have never punched in the codes.
Yes.
But I have asked people to buy things for me on
there
Amazon
you go.
Because
there you go.
I can't get it anywhere else.
Yeah.
The frustration just as a consumer sometimes is very interesting. For example, my husband has a medical device, and he can get all the pieces of the medical device at the local pharmacy except one piece. That piece has to be delivered by Amazon. I find that hysterical because
probably infuriating.
Piece, yeah, because without that piece, of course, nothing else will work.
Right,
and
right.
So you just find that a little bit like, really, if you have enough customers to sell part A, B, C, and D, why can't you sell part E? But we're not here to explain why Amazon is so successful. They are very successful and they're doing a bang up job. What other places were they looking at?
When you're in the site selection process, they a lot of times they won't tell you who you're competing with. But throughout the time that there were whispers of this, you feel pretty confident with the population center of West Central Illinois being in Quincy. It makes a lot of sense, especially too with their location on Wisman Lane, having direct highway access. That makes a lot of sense. So again, I they don't really share that with you a lot. So I can't say that. But I think too, Mary, I think sometimes we get lost in the drama of the day when it comes to a community. So whether it be what's happening at the city council tonight or different things like that. But if we take a step back, I've been involved with the Great River Economic Development Foundation now for about 3.5 years. Obviously, have been with the city longer than that. I don't think there's been a time where we've had so many announcements of new facilities, whether it starts with the Trimark coming in, then you have a United Alloy, you have Napide Manufacturing, expanding into a new facility, you've got Target, now you have Amazon. I think really when it comes to economic times here, I think West Central Illinois and Quincy has a lot to be proud of.
And I think this is one of the cautionary tales about the naysayers on the social media. I go to the city council meetings, I listen to people get up and gripe, and that's their perfect right to do it. And they say nothing's happening in Quincy, it's a backward town, just every negative thing they can possibly spew out of their mouth. And yet, we do have an awful lot of great things that are going on here. If we can't get our own people to accept it, it's got to be a tough job for you.
Too, because people we'll have, this is a great announcement and we should celebrate this type of investment, and we should be happy that a company like Amazon looked at a map and said, I want to be in Quincy and Adams County. That's fantastic. The second thing is we've had a net positive of new businesses open compared to close. So with our partners in the district and the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce, we do our best to track how many businesses open and close within Adams County in a calendar year. And right now, we're at a net gain of around 21, which is great because, you know, sometimes you have an announcement like that and they're like, oh, this restaurant closed its doors. So what about that? You know, and so we try to combat that narrative. Also, we would tell you if we had a negative, you know, because that's our job to just tell it like it is.
Right.
But we've had this the last 2 years net positive of small businesses opening in our community. So it's not just the large companies making investments in Adams County.
Well, this is fantastic. Now, who owns the property at 4301?
They just closed on it on Friday. Amazon did.
Okay, but I mean, who owned it before?
Well, that I don't know off the top of my head, Mary.
Okay, but it's interesting.
I apologize. Well, I would have known that.
That's
okay. Yeah.
Because when people are looking at a site, I mean, that's an interesting thing too. Because if I'm trying to build something there, I don't necessarily want to, you know, like for example, if I'm representing a homeowner that wants to buy a home, I don't want people to know it's Mariah Carey or, you know, Jennifer Lopez.
A lot of times they'll say,
well, you'll pay whatever you want.
A lot of times there'll be a company. In this instance, there was a company, the Ryan Company, made the appeal to the Plan Commission. And so a lot of times they will do those asks. Or they'll hire a lawyer so you won't know who it is. And we've had at Greta, we've had a company call us about sites, and then we've had their construction team call us about sites. And they kind of act like we haven't talked to the other person. And it's like, yeah, we know who you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're nice to them, but
we know who you are.
We do research. We're like anybody. Somebody calls us, we don't know their name, and we're on the Google real quick, right? You know, so, but I think, too, like a lot of times, you're right, where these companies won't necessarily come out because they don't want to be get a higher than at normal price. And sometimes with these, like I say with United Alloy, you know, we had the Weisenberger family call us and say that they were going to do a land auction, and they happened to have a parcel that was zoned properly, and we knew United Alloy was looking for sites and happened to connect them with that, and then they were the highest bidder. And so it's kind of conversations like that. And we were asked after the press conference how long this process takes. And this is about a 2-year process from beginning to end. And it's sometimes you kind of put it on the back burner and you think nothing's going to happen. And then they have an exciting announcement.
Well, certainly the rumor has been around for quite some time. However, I would like to go on record as saying that if WTAD News reported every rumor, there would be a Popeye's chicken on the corner of 36th and Broadway, not a Raising Cane's chicken.
Right, right.
You have to be careful.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said, everybody knows it's Amazon. I'm certainly glad it is. Certainly glad it's going forward. And I think sometimes that's another aspect of Greta and the city, why Greta is independent of the city, because you can negotiate and do things that the city has to do more in a public forum.
Correct.
And I know that's very frustrating because I know Mayor Mike Trope is very interested in economic development.
He is.
And he has to be careful because as the mayor, a reporter can ask him a question and drill down on him that he could be in trouble running for cover, saying, I can't disclose that.
Well,
whereas you are in a protected area because Greta was set up to be the protected area.
Correct. And I was involved when I was mayor in a attempt, and we were successful to keep a local employer here. And that company, of course, worked with Greta at the time because they didn't want on public record that they were looking at other facilities in other states, right? And so the benefit of the Great River Economic Development Foundation is we're a private entity. So these companies can talk about what they're looking for, their sites, and then they don't have to, they also don't have to have all their financial pictures, you know, in the public record, especially if they're not asking for money, you know? So the benefit for us is we are confidential, and then we can also make calls on behalf of them to say, hey, we have a client. And so we'll do that sometimes, or we'll connect them with a local real estate agent as well.
Well, you said if anybody has a parcel of land that they're interested in selling, there may be something you're not even aware of that you could get maybe a housing development or a retail or a commercial.
It depends
on how it's zoned, but you know, some places out in the county, you know, away from the city within that 1.5 mile or beyond, you never know what land could be used for.
The great example is that we had about a month ago, we had a residential developer from St. Louis with some Quincy connections come to town. And, we were able to show them different sites that were zoned residential for what they were looking for. Now it's their determination whether or not they're going to make an investment. But we were able to show them around town, have those sites already predetermined. And for that developer, it makes it that much easier to get to know our community, right? When you have somebody leading them by the hand and say, look at this site, look at this site. This is what's going on this side of town. And so they can have a better lay of the land when they're deciding if they're going to make an investment in our community.
Well, they also have to know, like you would know, well, this corner's empty right now, but in 6 months, there'll be a chicken restaurant there. Or this building's empty right now, but 1 year from now, there'll be a Target.
Correct.
There.
Or even utilities.
Yeah.
You know, what utilities are land are run to the site and where different road construction projects are going.
We're here today with Kyle Moore. Now, tomorrow is Election Day, and Kyle is standing for election. He doesn't want to mix these two jobs, I know.
But I don't have an opponent, Mary.
You'd have no opponent.
I don't. No.
So as of 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you will be the representative-elect.
Elect, yes.
You're not going to kick Randy Freese out just yet. There's
going
to be an overthrow.
No.
But you will be our representative-elect. Amazon is coming to Quincy with an Amazon distribution center. They will start before the end of this year on construction at 4301 Wisman Lane. It's an approximately $15 million facility to build out. They should be done by November of next year, just in time for all our Christmas packages to come through with Amazon. It's going to bring in a lot of construction jobs. There goes housing prices up again. And it's going to bring in a lot of people. And I want to ask this question because, again, maybe I love Quincy too much, and it's my hometown. And I've lived in Missouri for 10 years. I like it over there, too. I own some property over there. I'm not against Missouri, but I'm so sick and tired of people getting down on Quincy. Yet here's Amazon. They could have built this across the river.
Mm-hmm.
The minimum wage there is less. There's a lot of things that people say, well, Illinois is this and Illinois is that. Nobody wants to invest here. Well, really?
No,
I mean,
in fact,
that doesn't seem to be the fact.
I was just having a conversation last week with some representatives with the governor and, you know, and said, really, Quincy and Adams County, if you think about how people describe the business climate in Illinois, the last 3 years, we've really been the opposite of that, where you have these companies that are making some major investments in our community. And the fact that we're a border community, you know, these companies really could be 5 miles to our west and be in Missouri. But yet, you know, one of the things that we tried to highlight when I was with the city and we continue to promote with economic development is that companies are also looking for more than just, you know, who has the best incentives. They want what we call quality of life. And so to have a community like Quincy in Adams County that has an active trail system, you know, that has a retail environment where trailing spouses actually can get what they need, where there's a vibrant nightlife. Companies want to be in a community that's investing in itself. That's why the school investment was so important. I remember when I spent my first year as mayor, we were working with somebody, an executive that moved to town, and they said, you know, one, we toured one of the schools. It was 100 years old, and it reminded me of like a small jail. And two, my wife couldn't go to Target. And so those were things that were inhibitors for us to move. They still ended up moving. It was fine. But the fact of the matter is people have different things they're looking for than just straight incentives.
That is so true. And we have a symphony, and we have arts, and we mm-hmm. have a crime level that is fairly low. And you know, despite many of our problems, like where are we going to do at 48th and State?
You know, I've said, listen, but regardless of what you say,
are we going to build a roundabout at
48th? If our biggest problem in this community is whether or not we're going to put a turn lane, a roundabout, or a stoplight at an intersection, we are utopia right now. It's a great problem to have. And also, the city and the county has the money. So again, and I'm not from Gret. If we were up for improvements to any high traffic intersection, whatever the city and county decide. But if this is our most controversial issue with an Amazon coming in, we're doing pretty well.
What is going to happen at 4301 Wisman Lane, though? That area out there, that road is not developed past a two-lane. Are there plans to get all those big trucks off of I-172 and get them there? Because this is the same problem that happened when John Wood built out in the middle of the Dieters Dairy Farm. Great, mm-hmm. perfect, okay. They had all the land they needed, but...
I think it's the chicken or the egg first, right?
And well, so, you've got to have Amazon, I guess, before you have... But can't you... What's going to happen simultaneously?
Well, essentially, if the city and county determine that the traffic counts warrant a upgrade to those streets, whether it be Wisman Lane, 43rd, I think that then they can help that and write grants, especially in terms of economic development as well. So when it's tied to job creation, so this helps with those grants writing applications.
I'm so in favor of a roundabout somewhere. Now there's one at the Illinois Veterans Home, so I just go out there and drive around it and pretend
get
I'm
your
in
practice.
Ireland.
Get your practice.
Going.
Again, we take no stance at the Great River Economic Development Foundation, Mary, but we're happy if that's the biggest thing we're arguing about in our community.
That there's lots of things going to be happening. My favorite is Aaron Brockovich comes to Hannibal, visits Hannibal, and they switch their water over to something, and Quincy's still using the same water sanitation, and yet I'm not aware of anybody in Quincy dying. But, you know, this is, again, every community is different.
That's above my pay grade, Mary.
It's above your pay grade. Everybody go out and vote tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow is Election Day, and Amazon is coming. It is a done deal. They bought the land. They're going to be here probably up and running by Thanksgiving of next year. Kyle Moore and Greta scored a big one. Congratulations on the Dodgers. Did you delay this announcement because you're like, look, I'd love to have an announcement, but I can't miss a Dodgers.
Dodgers win the World Series, and then 1 week later we got an Amazon facility. What a charmed life right now.
It's mic drop time.
That's right.
Thank you
Thank
very
you
much,
so
Kyle
much.
Moore.
Yes.
We'll be back to talk about Bella Ease in just a moment. It is 9:38. Stay tuned to the Mary Griffith Show. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. There's going to be a party going on Thursday night, November 7th, at the Town and Country Inn and Suites. Cheryl and Dennis Williams, the founders of Bella Ease, will be there, and all the people who support Bella Ease are going to be there as well as they celebrate 10 years in business helping our community. I interviewed you a couple of weeks ago, and I loved what you said, Dennis Williams. If you just want to sum up, what does Bella Ease do? We help broken people get unbroken. That says it.
Yep.
I like that.
That's it.
That's
what
it.
We do.
Why did you guys see the need for this 10 years ago? I mean, we already have the Salvation Army, and we have social service agencies that help, DCFS. We've got a school system. What was it that you saw that you felt was lacking that Bella Ease could bring that maybe something else wasn't already doing?
I think that there is so much brokenness out there, is that not those agencies you're talking about could be the only ones that's helping it. The good thing or the bad thing is that we're in the neighborhood where it's broken at. So when we moved into that neighborhood, we've seen that brokenness, and sometimes we assume that people, once again, can fix it. But when you're right down there with it, you see the other thing. So with those other agencies, that's doing a great job. Let's give them a round of applause. But as much brokenness as we have to have some other agencies to come in and do some of those things that's not being covered and stuff. And so that's what we try to do.
Well, also, it may not be the fit. You know, people are people, and so they may feel more comfortable going to this counselor than that counselor, but yet this counselor is the only one available to them at the time. So you started out on North 12th Street in the neighborhood, and now you've moved down to Broadway. You're still in what I call, you know, the part of town where census figures show the vast majority of people who are lower income live and can get to you probably by public bus or by walking. And now John Wood Community College has come down to offer some classes there, because one of the things about John Wood, as wonderful as it is, all of its facilities are way out on the east end of town. And if you don't have a car, it's not always convenient to get out to the east end of town. Part of the problem, don't you think, is my brother works somewhat in social services, and he said the biggest problem with social services is a bunch of middle-class white people graduated with social service degrees, and now they're supposed to help poor people, and they don't have any concept or clue what it's like to be poor. They've never missed a meal. They've never said you can't go to college. They've never had anybody, tell them they couldn't live up to their full potential, and yet they're supposed to go in and, quote, help people. Well, if you don't come from the same book, it's kind of hard to read off the same page. Is that why Bella Eze is so successful?
Yeah, I'm going to back up just a minute and say when we started Bella Eze, and part of our success is because it's a combination of both Dennis and I. Mm-hmm. I am the administrative part, and Dennis is the people part. He is the one that has that connection to the community, to the people that need the services. And so there's some comfort when they come into Bella Eze. The staff that we have is sometimes the unique staff. We hire people that have the heart for people. So, and again, not that the other organizations don't, but we do almost mentoring in every one of our programs. We work one-on-one with them to help change their lives. We don't want to just write a rent check. We want to help them find employment. We want to help them get a place to live, but to be able to stay there, to sustain that, to have employment in which they're going to be able to move on and maybe move up and sustain their household. So that's kind of a little bit uniqueness to us. They come in, and a lot of our employees have that lived experience, so they can relate to the people that come through our doors a little more.
That lived experience is something that, you know, it is hard. A friend of mine who is very successful, she says whenever she used to go and talk to groups of young women especially, somebody would say, well, you wouldn't have any idea what it's like. And she says she realized that they saw her with her coiffed hair from the hairdresser and her business suit as who she is today. She said, oh yeah, I grew up two blocks from here. I'm your mm-hmm. neighbor three generations ago. You know, I was you. And so I think the shared experience is something that cannot be denied. In fact, just recently I overheard a conversation and I was shocked. The young lady said, I'm going to become a social worker. Then later on she said, you know, I really don't like people very much. I just like pets. And I thought to myself, you are going to be a horrible social worker. Why in the world would you even want to become a social worker? I could see she might want to work at the Humane Society, but that's part of the problem, isn't it? We don't have a match all the time of people's skills and the services that they're trying to deliver.
I think the thing that I like to say in this whole picture is that, you know, I'm a male, and you ask me today how it is to have a baby, I'm not going to be able to tell you. So the reality of it is the people that know to have babies, they know how to do it. So people in poverty, if you've come from that, you can walk that walk. If you have missed a meal, you can walk that walk. And I think that's what we miss it sometimes. We think because we give degrees or get degrees that we can come in and do just virtually anything. No, we can't. We have to learn to become what we are. I am the one who did go through that poverty stage, abusive homes. That's me, right? So that's why I relate so well.
But you have come out of that and become very successful and are well-respected in our community. So again, I think, isn't part of the problem, too, that sometimes people, like, I'm very open and honest about my own mental health struggles and about the struggles I've had in my childhood with mental health and my mother. Because if you just look at, oh, wow, Mary Griffith on the radio, you know, what could be wrong in her life?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. Things are pretty peachy right now, I'll be honest with you, but it hasn't always, you know, everybody's got struggles. Everybody's got a brokenness. And getting to the healing of that brokenness
is
only way you're going to change the whole thing. And that's what Bella Eze is doing. So in 10 years, you're going to look back and celebrate. 10 years isn't a long time, because some of the people that you helped when they're 12, they're still not really into their adulthood where they're really creating what they're going to be when they grow up. When do we ever grow up?
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of programs for youth, and you have programs for the young parents who are like, well, you know, I maybe didn't take school so seriously, or I maybe didn't take this so seriously. Is part of the message of Bella Eze, it's never too late?
Good.
Absolutely. You know, we start from the after-school programming from fourth grade on up. We kind of take a step back.
You know, she looked at me with that one.
Dennis isn't a young kids type person. So we do after-school programming. We do a college-bound program, so we help kids starting in high school to determine if they want to go to college. But on the other hand, as we were just talking about, I think society is switching and college isn't always the only way to go anymore. So we help them determine what is your life path. We work with parents, especially those that have had difficulties in DCFS, to change so that their children can remain in their home, so that they can be a family. We do a lot of parent support groups. We do a GED program. And as you said, John Wood is there to offer some classes in which they can better themselves, go out and find full-time employment. We do a work program. So we kind of serve the whole family, and with the hope that, again, they can go out and be sustain themselves, change their life so it's on a positive path.
That brokenness of the family is one of the big problems in all of our communities. And the number one impoverisher of children is the divorce of parents.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fact.
See, but I think, Mary, and this is the thing that you said earlier. Did we know back in the 60s, 70s, and even 80s how bad mental health was? We knew it,
but kept it secret.
You kept it secret. Now it's becoming more acceptable, right? To get help, right? And that it's okay to have this thing, right? And you can use that name as a thing, as mental health. I need somebody to help me. Where back in the day, you had to keep it in your household, you had to keep it underneath the wraps. And I think that what we give that is opportunity for all these things that Cheryl just mentioned to come out and say, yeah, I need help with that. And I think we're good at doing that component, saying, let us just walk along with you. Because, you know, I've been in poverty, but I don't know all the poverty things, right?
Yeah. You mean you don't represent every single person in poverty?
Person.
Well, my goodness,
no.
Dennis.
Yeah.
The old joke, if you know a person with Parkinson's, you know one person with Parkinson's.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their own experience. And whatever is lacking, for some kids, it's a lack of love in the home. They had all the money in the world, but they didn't have the love.
Ooh.
For some kids, they had not two dimes to rub together, and maybe they had a lot of macaroni and cheese meals, or, you know, sometimes they kind of went to bed a little bit hungry because there was only enough cereal for four kids, and there were six kids at the table, but they had to share a couple of teaspoons with their younger brother and sister, but they had love. So everybody's got some level of brokenness, like you say. You just have to find what that is, because every parent wants to be successful. They just don't know how. The other stigma, I think, that used to be really a big stigma was getting a divorce or being a single parent. It was really quite very unusual. Well, now very many people are single parents, mostly mothers, but some fathers too. And is our social system helping? Is there enough there to help that family that doesn't have the two people?
I think if you ask our kids in Teen Reach and ask them to, whoever has two parents in their household to stand up, if you get one or two to stand up, that's very unusual. So having two parents in a household is quite unique. The other thing that I think is a real misconception is that the people that are getting food stamps or assistance in some way are lazy and not working. The reality is there's a huge working poor out there. They are working full-time, sometimes more than one job, and they're just making ends meet. But then their car breaks down, and so they don't have that money, or they put the money towards the car. Now they're not having money to get food or to do those just to sustain their bills. So that's, I think, one of the biggest misconceptions is people just don't recognize that those that are making the minimum wages are working, but it's not enough to sustain them and pay their rent, pay their utilities, take care of their kids. That's a huge issue.
You brought that up, and I used that in my news story last week, that the working poor are out there. They are working hard every single day, but they can't bring home enough money to rent an apartment, mm-hmm. to pay their utility bills, to put mm-hmm. food on the table. And so they seek help for those things they can get help for, because there is no social service agency that will pay for new tires for your car.
Yes.
Like the United. Okay. But I mean, you know, I know where to go for a food bank. I know where I can go to get a meal tonight if I'm hungry. I know how to get a hold of Ameren and say, look, you're going to cut me off. Please don't do that. I'd like to get on a payment plan. Most people can kind of figure out those things because there's help. But there is no help for gasoline, for car, for transportation, child care. There's some help. But there's not enough because we don't have enough slots. You know, people say, well, they could work. They're just too lazy. What are they going to do with their kid?
And we do. We have a couple program that actually has what they call barrier funds and does pay for things like that, the transportation, some child care. But like you said, those slots fill up very quickly. That money goes very fast, and then you have a waiting list. But they do recognize, the state has begun to recognize through grants that, yes, we do need to help the people stay working that are working, and the things such as the transportation, child care, are two of the most prevalent barriers in this community, keeping them from working.
And I just found out from the diaper bank, which I've done many, many stories on, that one of the big reasons people miss work is because they don't have diapers, they don't have Pampers to send to the daycare. The child cannot come without its own supply of diapers, so mom, she can't buy diapers on her paltry income, but she can't go to work because she can't send her kid. When you're stuck in a poverty cycle, you need some rescuers like Bella Ease to come and help you get out of that cycle. People want to get out of that cycle. The vast majority of people do. The ones who don't, you don't, you know, you may come across them and you realize they're not good for us. We're not good for them. They're not good for us. Plenty of people need help. We don't need to do that. How can we come to the dinner on Thursday night? Are you still selling tickets or is it all closed out?
Well, we're kind of like at the max that we can be at right
okay,
now.
That's
but,
good.
But yeah, it's good. And the thing is that with the celebrations, you know, one of the things that we want people to understand is we're here for the community. Right. And so the people that we invited or welcomed in is people that has really just put their whole heart and everything in for Bella Ease. You know, and we have some donors that came in there and they put their heart in there and they've said, hey, I see you guys as valuable. And that's a good thing. Right. In our community, we gotta praise our community. We're a giving community and we give a lot. In 2015, when we first started, we was a year into it and the impasse from the government, we had no money. And our community stepped up, and they said, yeah, yeah. I mean, you got to think about that. A community keep an organization running because they see the value in it. And that's why this is so important to us to say, yes, we need to do this for the community.
Well, one thing to put on your training list for next year, because they'll be open about a year from today, is that, or a year from Thanksgiving, that new Amazon center. Just think, they're going to need truck drivers, they're going to need forklift operators, they're going to need sort of, you didn't know?
No,
Amazon's coming to Quincy.
I did not know
Amazon's
that.
Amazon's coming to Quincy at 4301 Wisman Lane. They're going to build a $15 million facility. It's going to be open in a year, and it's going to have some head of household jobs.
Sure.
But Amazon pays a little bit better than the average bear. Yeah. They have to.
But even when you say some household jobs, what people don't understand, if we can get people just to start working that's never worked, that some
becomes many.
Many, right.
Yeah. I started at McDonald's,
yeah,
and I ended up,
yeah,
as a manager. I mean, I didn't start as a manager at,
correct,
McDonald's, right.
That's some.
You have to start. You have to
you
get
have to
the
start.
Work skills to
that's
go to work. And
good
you guys
work.
Are so good at that. I've worked with Teen Reach kids that have,
mm-hmm,
done projects like at German Fest and stuff,
yep,
like that.
Yep.
And they are hardworking. And you tell them, you got to go around X amount of times and deliver, you know, empty this trash. Who wants to empty trash? Nobody wants to empty trash. That's, mm-hmm, a low-level job. But they're getting somebody like Mary Griffith to say, hey, those kids, if you wanted to hire them on a fast food line, they'd show
it.
Up on time and they'd do what you told them to do. And I know that from being a manager. So,
right,
you're building skills even when people say, well, what are they doing? Sometimes even a volunteer project or a, mm-hmm, less than stellar job, because, I mean, you know,
yep,
emptying trash is not everybody's idea of fun, but you make it happen. Congratulations, 10 years for Bella Ease. We're out of time. I don't want to lose my job. I gotta go.